In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are gathered tonight and this week to be around the Holy Word of God. And I'm glad to be here with you tonight, and I'd like to greet each and every one of you with God's peace. And I hope and pray that within your heart that you would have already prayed for these services, even as we already heard from Brother Phil, pray for these. And as we consider the places in the Bible that we'll consider, and also we think about the songs that we sing for this time of year, and I know that for each one of us, that there's special places that you can remember even from the past years, past days, that are just so special to you. But there are so many places in the Bible that cover this Holy Week. And I'm planning, and if it's so God's will, that we will read from some of those and speak from some of those, but they probably won't be every one of your favorite places. Even tonight, you know, when we consider this Maundy Thursday, you know, there's three big events that are often remembered. You know, we remember, you know, from the Gospel of John, how there was the, when Jesus washed the feet of the disciples. In fact, if I remember right, that's even the name Maundy comes from that command of Jesus to do that, to wash their feet. And of course, tonight we're going to consider the Passover meal, and what happened there, and what Jesus said and did there. But, of course, also is that right after this time of the Passover meal, well, then Jesus with his disciples went to the Garden of Gethsemane. Another just so precious and beautiful and important thing to know and to believe. But tonight, as we are going to consider from the book of Mark, that place about the Passover. But we've already heard about the God's command to Moses in the Old Testament about that Passover meal. And I'd like to just briefly go over that before we read our text. And we heard as it was read, you know, how that there needed to be a lamb, and it had to be a spotless lamb. And we've also heard even in the prayer how that Jesus is our Passover lamb. So let's remember that all the way through this, what we're going to consider tonight, how that lamb had to be without blemish and without spot. Jesus, without any sin. And how that they had to kill that lamb. That lamb had to be put to death, just like Jesus needed to be put to death for our sins and to redeem us. And how then there was this blood had to be put on the side posts and over the top of the door. And so then, and all of it had to be eaten. Nothing could be left over. You know, like they could eat all of it, but whatever they couldn't eat, you know, maybe it was the bones or something like that, that had to be burned with fire. Everything had to be gone. In other words, every part of it had to be taken. And I like that, to consider that, how that we need to take the whole Word of God. And we can't just take parts and pieces of it. We take all of it. And then how that, when that blood was put on the side post and over the top of the door, and that night the angel of death flew over Egypt. And only those that had the blood on their houses, they lived. But every other home, the firstborn passed away. They died. So that's how it was. And how that they had to be ready to go. They had to have their shoes on, and they had to be dressed, and they had to have their traveling staff. You know, they were ready to go. They were ready to leave Egypt and go to the promised land, because that was their goal. And for us tonight even as when we partake of the Lord's Supper, may that also be in our thoughts, that I'm ready to go. I'm ready to leave this life and go to eternity. For that, even that prepares us, along with all the rest of the Word of God and all of His promises. So let's read tonight from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, verses 12 through 26, and we'll read that in Jesus' name. And the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, Where wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover? And he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, Go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him. And wheresoever he shall go in, say ye to the good man of the house, The master saith, Where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared. There make ready for us. And his disciples went forth and came into the city and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And in the evening he cometh with the 12. And as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, Verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. And they began to be sorrowful, and to say unto him one by one, Is it I? And another said, Is it I? And he answered and said unto them, It is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goeth, as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and brake it and gave it to them and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Amen. So we see that this Passover meal that the disciples and Jesus were planning for, we need to remember how that this was so important for those, for the Jewish people. And even until this day, they remember this. And from the time that we read from the book of Exodus till now, till the time that Jesus was here, as it's recorded in Mark, I think it was approximately 500 years. So just think, there, over that many years, thousands, maybe millions of Jews had partaken of that Passover meal. And just like with us, you know, over time, you know, different customs were added to it. And even in that, like even today, and maybe it was even then, you know, there was more added than what was in the book of Exodus. You know, those that are today, you know, they have maybe like the youngest of the family would ask the father, like, why are we doing this? And then the father or the elder there would explain that the reason we are doing this Passover meal is to remember that God helped us and he brought us out of the bondage of Egypt. And it's a remembrance of that. And it's, and today there's all kinds of other things that have been added in through time. Just like when we, any kind of holiday or something that we, or occasion that we celebrate in our homes, you know, everybody has, does something a little bit different. Well, after a time, Jews started to do that same thing. But anyway, on this time that's recorded in the Bible that we're going to consider tonight, it was just Jesus and his 12 disciples. And it's amazing, and to me, I can't explain the significance or the importance of all this preparation that went in and how Jesus said for the disciples to go ahead and whatnot. But we can even see this, that even something like this, that everything is planned out ahead by God, even in your lives, in mine too. You know, God prepares and plans for us, but we are to be still in his will. And so this large upper room was all set up for them so they could be there all together. And so it tells us there that the disciples went and they found just like Jesus had said. You know, that they go there and follow this man that was carrying a pitcher of water, and just amazing how that actually worked out. And it was just like Jesus had said. And they got everything ready. And think about all the preparation. You know, they had to get a lamb. And the lamb had to be killed. It had to be cared for. They had to get bread and wine. And they had to have all these different spices to make a dip, and so that they could eat that. And they had to get everything all ready, and it was all prepared. And then it says here that in the evening he cometh with the 12. So it was at the right time, the time planned and decided by God how they would do it. And then as they start the meal, and it doesn't say in Mark here all the details of it, but it's really interesting if you would study all the things that they did. You know, there were certain psalms that they sang. You know, I think it was maybe 6 or 7 psalms, some in the beginning, some in the middle, some at the end, and they had different times where they would pass this dish of wine around, and there was just all kinds of detail to it. And of course, the speaking of the deliverance that God had done for them. But at this time, as they're going through this, Jesus, you know, and this night that we're reading about, this is just something that's just so different. It's just so different than any other Passover meal that had ever been done by any of the Jews for 500 years. Okay, this was a change. It's just a huge change happened here. But as Jesus is there, he's saying to them, the 12 disciples there, "One of you which eateth with me shall betray me." Now these are the disciples. These are the 12 disciples that Jesus had chosen. You know, they had traveled with him for 3 years. You know, they had seen him do all kinds of miracles, and he preached powerfully to thousands of people. He had fed people, everything, so many things he had done. And now he tells them, "One of you is going to betray me." The word describes very carefully that they began to be sorrowful. And we know, don't we, that it was Judas Iscariot. The Bible in other places says that he carried the bag. He carried the bag that of money. You know, back in, even in those days, there were people that wanted to help. And they gave the disciples and Jesus money. Judas took care of that. They probably used it to buy food, and I don't know what else they did with it. But anyway, the Bible in other places says that Judas was a thief. He probably stole some of that money that had been given. But anyway, it tells us here that they were all sorrowful. And in that midst was Judas. And was he sorrowful? Or did he pretend to be sorrowful? maybe this is a place of examination for us even tonight, that are we honest? Are we careful with our words and statements? Or do we tell the truth? I mean, we should be, don't we? We know that. Even though sometimes it's hard to be truthful and honest at all times. And I believe even here, maybe it was even Judas who said, "Is it I?" Because it does say, "And say unto him one by one," they said, "Is it I?" It appears here that Judas also, even though he knew that he was going to betray Jesus. So it was that evening. And they were sorrowful. And Jesus answered them. Now there were those there of the other 11 besides Judas Iscariot. They were all different people, just like we are. They didn't have all the same thoughts or feelings or emotions or anything like that, but they were all there, and they were honestly answering, "Is it I? Am I really going to be the one that betrays Jesus?" Now, I'd like to stop here a little bit and think about my thoughts growing up and being a young boy till even today. You know, sometimes when this place in the Bible has been read to me, or I've read or I've heard it preached in church, and I don't remember, I'm not saying this is what I exactly heard, but it's sometimes the thought has come that, well, is Jesus accusing me? Is it that way? Is Jesus trying to cause me to doubt? No. I don't believe that. I don't believe that Jesus would ever tell a Christian that, you know what, I think you're going to betray me. I don't think you're going to make it. We don't have a Savior like that. We don't. There might be people that would think that of you or me, but not Jesus. Even tonight, he wants to encourage you to believe, you know, that he is not one that he's going to forsake you. No, he's going to hold on to you until the end of time. But Jesus is here doing this, and the disciples are asking, "Is it I?" And Jesus answers that it's going to be the one that dips with me in the dish. And I don't know exactly how this was, but I believe there was a dish, and it would probably, maybe it was the dish that had the bitter herbs in it. Maybe it was the dish that had some fruit or something in it that they would dip with bread or something like that. And they ate together. It was a very, I'm going to say, a intimate way that they ate. You know, today we're like more careful, maybe too careful. You may disagree. We like to have our individual food on a separate plate in that. But in those days, they ate all together. And let's stop to consider all this about meal, even eating and having a meal together. You know, that's one of the most close things that we do with other people, isn't it? You know, like if you invite somebody to your house to have a meal with you, and they sit down and you serve them. I could just think about me as a guest at somebody's house who's serving me some food. Well, that's really special. It's so special. Even it doesn't have to be on fancy china or things like that, but just the fact of somebody serving. Oh, it's really, sometimes it's hard to receive, isn't it? Well, that's another thing that we already talked about a little bit, happened on this Maundy Thursday, how that Jesus so personally went down and kneeled down and washed the disciples' feet. But this eating together is even more. It's a really special thing, because there we're all equal, even though one might be serving. You know, it's just so special. And here Jesus is doing that with his disciples. And of course, they're speaking about the Passover, how that what God did in those days through Moses and so forth. But Jesus says that one of you is going to betray, and it's the one that's dipping with me in the cup. And they were all doing it. I think another gospel says that it was when Judas did it, so it probably was that way. But he says something really, really hard here. And this is, again, now, Jesus says things that are sometimes just so hard to receive, because they sound so hard, and they are. They really are hard. Just think what he says. He said, the Son of Man indeed goeth. And the Son of Man, Jesus talked about that, about himself. That was how he described himself. The Son of Man indeed goeth, as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. And then these words, good were it for that man if he had never been born. In other words, for those that betray Jesus, it would be better if they had never existed. And why is that? You know. If they had never existed, then they would never have to go to hell. It's so hard, isn't it? But that's how important it is, this salvation. That's how important it is to be a Christian. That's how important it is to believe the Word of God. That's how important it is to follow Jesus. It's just so important. And again, Jesus isn't here telling us through this message here that your salvation is in doubt, or that you should be in fear and trembling right now, that, oh, I don't want to go to hell. No, we know that hell is real, and the end of the world is real, and a judgment day is real. We know that is all true and right. But this is especially to those like Judas who do not believe. It isn't those that, like all of us are, it isn't, he's not speaking to those that stumble through this life, falling into sin and rising again. It's not those that suffer with their corruption and their weaknesses. He's not speaking to them, but he's speaking to those who say, I do not believe, that I will not believe. I will not follow Jesus. I don't believe in heaven or hell. That's who he's saying. It'd be better if they had never been born. So this is very serious for us to remember. But now, what's happened right after this is just so important for us to realize and to see here. They're going through this Passover meal just like they did. You know, they're probably in their early 30s, just like Jesus was at this time. And then, like out of the blue, it says here that as they did eat, then Jesus took some bread and he blessed it. In other words, he prayed over it. He asked God's blessing on it, and he broke it, took the bread and broke it into pieces, and he gave it to them. And he said, take, eat. This is my body. Now this is all new. You know, no other Passover meal nothing like this had ever happened before. But now this one did. And it's Jesus, the Son of God himself, who is doing this. Take, eat. This is my body. Now, in a Passover meal, they ate bread, unleavened bread. And it was passed out, and they ate bread. But on this one, Jesus said, "This is my body." Do you hear that? How vastly this change is. He said, "This is my body." And Jesus is not talking anything different than he did other times when he spoke to the disciples and to the people. You know, when he spoke the truth with power and authority, this is the same. "This is my body." He was saying that as you eat this, you are eating my body, the flesh of Jesus. And then he takes the cup, you know, and they drank. They had a cup of wine that they all would drink out of it. And he took that cup, and he gave thanks with that. And then he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. He told them to. And then he said, "This is my blood of the new covenant, of the new testament, which is shed for many." He was speaking of right then and also for the coming days ahead. "This is my blood. This is my blood of the New Testament." I don't want to start a theological debate by talking about this in this way, but you know, I most of the time think of the New Testament starting at the death of Jesus Christ. But Jesus is already saying here that this is the New Testament in my blood. So this is a very important place to remember, even as we partake of the Lord's Supper tonight. You know, that we are partaking, just like these disciples did, of the body of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. Because that's what Jesus said, that this is my body and this is the blood of the New Testament, my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. It's recorded in the other Gospels that he even said it's for remission, for forgiveness. We can never detach the blood of Jesus from forgiveness. It always forgives. It's an atoning blood. It always will be. And so they partook of it. And even, it's so wonderful what he did. And just think of how it was for those disciples. I don't know how much they understood, but this is recorded for even for us tonight, that we would remember this and be comforted and assured that this truly did happen even for us. And so even tonight, you know, when you come to partake of the Lord's Holy Supper, I'd like to encourage you all to come, but be careful that you don't look at what Jesus said to those disciples and Judas, that, you know, that is this how I should consider myself before I partake of the Lord's Supper? That is Jesus accusing me or questioning that, are you going to betray me? Jesus is not doing that. No, this Lord's Supper is for believers. That is true. It's for believers. And we are even exhorted to examine ourselves. But remember, too, it says to examine ourselves whether we be in the faith. I don't know about you, but I have this confession to make about my poor understanding, that even though the Bible says to examine yourself whether you be in the faith, I often used to think this way, that I should examine myself whether I have a good conscience in order to be acceptable to the Lord's Supper. It's important and it's right and it's good that we would walk with a clean conscience. That's very good. But I believe that there's many Christians who are afraid to come to the Lord's Supper because they are struggling in their life. Well, I'd like to tell you tonight that it's especially for you. It's especially for you, weakest and poorest one, who are struggling on this way of life, this way of faith. And maybe even tonight you wonder that, will I ever make it? Well, I want to encourage you tonight to come to the Lord's Supper. There you may be strengthened. And there you may be encouraged that this even is for the remission of your sins. And if you do have a bad conscience, that, and you look around even tonight and you see that there's someone here that you've been fighting with or you've offended, well, it would be a good time for reconciliation even for that. Or if there's other matters upon your conscience that are bothering you, that are hindering your faith. Did you hear that? I said it hinders your faith. But come to the Lord's Supper. It's for the weakest and the poorest of us. And I am with you. We will do this together because we partake of the Lord's Supper, not only individually, but as all together. There's a congregation. Even as it was with Jesus and all the disciples together, he was saying that to all of them and each one individually. And at the end of our text, it tells us that Jesus said that I will not drink any more of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. I believe here that at least part of what he is saying here is that there's going to be a day coming. And it's going to be eternal feast of salvation where we will be gathered together with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the blessed. And all of our loved ones who have gone before us in faith, who have left this life and who now are sleeping, waiting the day of resurrection. Oh, that day is coming also. And we pray that one day we could be there together with them. And may it fill our hearts even tonight with joy and peace, that knowing that we can now even tonight as we partake of the Lord's Supper, it's just like we could be with the disciples. And even as those servants that will now serve you and me, the Lord's Supper, the body of Jesus and the blood of Jesus, think of it, that these are speaking the same words that Jesus spoke. Oh, the ministry is precious to us. We that have benefited so much from the diligent preachers and teachers of the word and those that have served unto us the sacraments. God be thanked for that. But most of all, God be thanked for Jesus. And even as we consider these events of the next few days, remember that Jesus is the center of this all, and he is the reason of our salvation and the reason that we can have hope and peace and joy tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.